Look in the book of Matthew, chapter number 25. We'll begin reading in verse number 14. We're looking at what we have titled, The Many Faces of Christ at His Return. We have seen that He is coming as a thief, but He's no criminal. And we must have a guarded readiness. We must watch. A constant, continual watch. We also noticed last night that He's coming as a person. I don't know, you might have seen Him today. That's that Galilean readiness. You'll be ready for Him if you're looking for Him. And he's said, I'm coming, but I'm coming as a person. Matter of fact, in Acts chapter 1, the angel of the Lord said, why stand you here gazing? This same Jesus that you see, He's coming back. Amen. The same one, He's coming back. And He'll be the Galilean when He gets back. He'll have the faces of those that we have dealt with. But tonight I want us to read beginning in verse number 14. And I want to emphasize the coming of the Lord, the many faces of Christ at His return. And I want to preach on Jesus with the face of an investor. The face of an investor. Or we might say an entrepreneur, or we could say a businessman. Let's look at it in verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. Sort of reminds me of Jesus when he left and gave unto us gifts to be used for his kingdom's sake. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Made an investment. And likewise, he that had received 2 talents, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore thy talent from the talent from him, and give it unto them which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The many faces of Christ. In our text, it is very evident that it is emphasized that when Jesus comes back, he's expecting more. He is expecting an investment to produce. He wants a profit. He wants an increase, as all investors do. We notice that the Lord has been gone a long time. And when he comes, he calls the servants together and he reckons with them. That's what the scripture said. That's a commercial term. It means to compare accounts. In other words, he's got the books. He knows that he's given one man 5 talents. He knows that he has given another man 2 talents. And he knows that he has given one man 1 talent. Now he's getting ready to compare the accounts. And can I say to you, Jesus is coming with the face of an investor. And you and I will personally give an account to the Lord as to the proportions of the talents that he has given us. The Bible tells us that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. We're going to stand before the Lord in this matter of our responsibility in connection with our abilities. He's given us the opportunity and he has provided us with the talents to do so. And can I say to you tonight, the grace of God was intended to be accumulative. When God plants an acorn, he means for an oak to grow. When he plants a small amount of grace in a heart, he expects it to grow. When he gives faith, he expects it to be added to. He said, I am an investor. I'm not just wasting my talents. We shall all give an account. That certainly is weighty, isn't it? There are 3 things that I want to call to your attention concerning the Lord, the face of Christ as he comes as an investor. I want us to notice the master of this investment. I want us to know the measurement of this investment. And then we'll notice the management of this investment. First of all, we're going to look at this text and we're going to notice what I call the master of this investment. I notice that all through this text that it points to the fact that the Lord is the owner of this investment. Everything in this text belongs to him. It is his. If you'll notice in verse number 14, it talks about he called his own servants. Now these servants belong to him. And also he gives unto him his goods. These talents, they belong to him also. I'm talking about how he's the master of the investment. In verse number 25, it emphasizes it when even the servant said, I was afraid and went and hid thy talent, knowing that it belonged to him. He also refers to it again. He said, here, thou hast that is thine, referring to the talents belonging to the master. And then the master comes back in verse 27. He said, that's my money. And he said again in verse 27, he said, it is mine own. He's emphasizing that everything that involves this investment Everything that has to do with this investment belongs to the Master. Now, what I want you to understand is that Jesus is not just starting a business. He's not trying to purchase a business. He does not need to be financed in His business. He's not competing with other businesses. He does not need a partner in His business. And He's not interested in your business. He wants you to realize that all business is His business. And He is the great investor. He is the master of the investment as far as our lives are concerned. Now let me point out two or three things about this master of the investment that I notice in this text. I see that, first of all, He is the creator of the investment. In other words, He's the one that put the investment together. Look in verse number 14 again. He said, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." And so He is the one that is orchestrating, putting together this investment that is taking place. He is the one that, I want to say, the one that built this investment. And certainly it is so. From even the creation that God has created, it was His great investment. And the very climax of the creation of God was man himself. God built you and God built me. We, the Bible said, are fearfully and wonderfully made. And all the Lord's creation is an investment for man. Did you know that? Everything that's ever been made was made for me and for you. And it was an investment that He made. I'm talking about from the stars and the galaxies all down to the very earth itself and everything that is contained in it is a wonderful, wonderful creation, an investment of God in creation. I was thinking about this matter of creation and its related purpose as far as man is concerned. Did you know that all creation has a related purpose for man? I never have been able to understand the principle of evolution, that things just evolve in and of themselves. And I don't understand how they see that when you begin to think, know, and realize that nothing exists except it exists for something else. For instance, color in this world. God created color. Why did He create color? Because there was an eye that could see that color. Your eye and my eye that could see that color. Why did God create air, or what we might call oxygen? The reason why He did is because we have lungs and we have to have that. It's not something that just in and of ourselves we all developed into. Why is there water? Because we have thirst. Why is there food? Because we have hunger, the need of nutrition. Why are there sound waves moving through the air constantly? Because we have ears, and with those ears we hear that sound. Everything that God made, He made in relationship for you and me and for the needs. It was an investment that He made. The very ingredients and nutritions, they tell us, that are found in the soil, the very same ones are found in the human body. And it is through that soil we draw our nutrition. God making an investment. Here in our text, He is creating the best investment. And God, when He created this whole world, He began this investment. All that He has ever made has been an investment. You know, I was thinking about this matter again of evolution. If evolution were true and the monkey, man evolved, or the monkey evolved into a man, then I wonder why they're still monkeys. I just never have been able to figure that out. We see the creation of His investment. He made the investment. But you know, as I looked in this text, it is also implied when we think about the New Testament and the truth of Christ that there is the incarnation of this investment. He not only created this world for you and I, but He entered into this world for you and I. That's why He's got to go on a long journey, because He's been here, now He's got to go there. And of course, we realize that Christ came into this world for your sake and to my sake, and died for you and I, that He might save us, that He might make this major investment, not only in creation, but He made this investment in incarnation. He come to die for you and I, and gave His all on the cross of Calvary. What an investment that. In other words, God gave His all in this. This is not just a casual investment. This is not just a business deal that's just flung out there. A happy-go-lucky come-or-go, well, it really doesn't matter. No. When God invested in me and you, He wants us to understand that He invested the full extent of all of who He is. This is a big investment. As a matter of fact, I want to suggest to you, God only has one investment. He doesn't have any sideshows. And don't worry about it. There's no other creations out there where God's out there working part-time, taking care of some other galaxy and some other souls and all that. Oh, no. You say, how do you know? Because He put everything He had into this. He had no intention of investing anywhere else. What could He give anywhere else when He gave His all here, when He gave His Son? But He said, "You do you know that there's no life on other planets?" Yes, I know that. Because He sent His all into this world. He gave His all in this world. He wouldn't have anything else to give anywhere else. That's a pretty big investment, isn't it? And oh, it blesses my soul to know that this is not an investment that someone else started. This is not an investment that someone else come up with. But this is His investment, and He is still in total control and will never lose the control of His investment on my behalf and on your behalf. I'm glad He's the master of this investment. They didn't come to Him with this idea. Nobody else brought it up. He said, this is the way it's going to be. I'm going to make an investment. I'm going to create this investment. I'm going to build this investment. I'm the master of the investment. But now the second thing I would bring to your attention, not only do we notice the master of the investment, it is thine, His own. It's all His, this investment. What an investment it is. How we need not take this investment lightly. How can we look at Calvary and just half-heartedly deal with the investment of God? As the songwriter said, it ought to demand our all. And we realize He gave His all. A master of the investment. But then I notice in verse number 15, there is the measure of this investment. The Scripture said, "And unto one He gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. Man, according to his several ability, his diverse ability, his own ability, and straightway took his journey." You see, this too is true as far as Scripture is concerned, that God has allowed us to be partakers of His investment. Isn't that blessed? In the making of His investment that He masters, He included you and He included me. Isn't that wonderful? In a very weak way, it's sort of like a billionaire starting an investment and telling you that you can be a part of it, but you didn't have to have no money. That he'd put it all up front and let you be in on it. That wouldn't be a bad deal, would it? And that's what exactly has happened. God Almighty has mastered an investment. The investment. The only investment that heaven's interested in. And then he looked at you and me and allowed us to be part of that investment. To be partakers of it. Ephesians 3:6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. what an investment. And here I am right in the middle of it. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. That's been mentioned several times this week. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. We are partakers. And here we notice the emphasis is that there are those who are a part. They are given a part of the investment. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to be in, aren't you? I'm glad that God gave me a portion. God allowed me to partake of this investment when He gave me my portion, my talent. My abilities, my gifts. He has blessed you and He has blessed me with a measure of His investment. And you have been made a part of His kingdom. I remember a fellow talking one day and he was talking about this matter of being a part of God's family. He was thinking about the family. And he said, I'm just glad to be in. And he said, I sort of see it like the old bat boy in on the ball team. he may not be first base, second base, third baseman. He may not be pitcher or catcher, but he's just glad he's part of the team. I may not be the five nor the two. I may be just the one, but I'm glad to be part of the team. I'm glad to be part of what God is doing. I'm glad I'm in the measurement. When God measured it out, I'm glad He included me. He said, hey, here, I give you a part of the investment, but it is a particular part of the investment. He gives according to the variety, the diversity, and the abilities. No two servants have the same ability, the same environment, the same opportunity, the same genes, the same heritage, the same training, the same mind, the same heart, the same discipline, the same initiative. Everybody's different. But you see, it's not the portion, it's the proportion that counts. God giving to you as He sees and deems fit to give to you. Some of us He has called and given the gift to preach. Others He has given the gifts to be able to teach. Others He's given the gifts of being able to minister or the gifts of helps. And on through an innumerable measures of gifts. And though all of us pray and should pray, I do believe that He has given some a measurement of this ability of prayer. And the Scripture talks about the measure He's given to us of faith. And so He gives out His talents to you and I to be used for His glory. And it will be a particular and a personal talent. God has for you what He intends to be for your personal life. And we need not be upset if we don't think we can do something as good as somebody else or have as much as somebody else. Even in this matter of the kingdom of God, as a preacher crossing the country, I sense so much jealousy many times in the house of God over piano players and different jobs within the church, that they are upset that maybe they're thought to be less than someone else. God's love cannot be measured by the talents that He gives you. That's not what He is saying. I'm giving you 5 because I love you more. I'm giving you 2 because I love you less. And I'm giving you 1 because I can't stand you. No, it's in His mercy and grace in His kingdom as He has brought this investment together, as He has even built you and brought you into it. He has given you and blessed you accordingly as He has designed and as He has created you. And I say to you, I would rather have 1 talent to be used for God than 500 to be wasted on the devil. The various ways of God's divine perfections, His placing His gifts within us. Romans 12:3, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than they ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. There is not only this master of this investment. There is the measure of this investment. As He measures out to you and as He measures out to me according to His divine and wondrous purposes. But I want you to notice with me now what I call the management of this investment. Now here's where the weight falls upon you and I. The very management of this investment. He comes, He reckons. The word seems to mean that He's calling for an audit. He's going to get the books together and He's checking the books and He is comparing the accounts as to what He has given you and then what you have done with what He has given you. Comparing the books. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 16. The Bible said, then he that had received the 5 talents, I'm interested in that word, went. Said he went and traded with the same and made of them other 5 talents. And the verse 17 said, and likewise he that had received the 2, he also gained other 2. So immediately these men began to invest, or these servants began to invest the investment that God has placed to their account. But I notice that there is in this matter of the management of the investment, there is the cost that is involved in the managing of this investment. The word went there means to traverse or to remove. It means to depart. It even has the idea of death or dying to one's own will or desire. When these 2 men went, when they left, when they removed, when they departed, they were investing in the investment of God, but they were dying to their own desires and their will. They were not out investing in their own situations and in their own investments and in their own lives, but they immediately began in the investment as far as the kingdom was concerned. And therefore, there was the sense, as I looked at that word, it said a sense of dying to one's own self. You have to. That's what this thing is all about. Taking up the what? The cross and follow me. That is a death experience. And I preached on that lengthily one time while I was here. But this matter of the investment is a matter of a death blow to our own interests. There's no way when we realize the great investment that God has made on our behalf in salvation that we can spend our lifetimes worrying about our own investments, worrying about our own wills and our own lives and our own jobs and our own houses and our own monies and our own future, taking thought of our todays but yet not thinking about the kingdom. He has given you your talents, your abilities. He has given you what He has blessed you with spiritually because He wants you to spend time in those areas as far as your life is concerned. Time in His Word. Time in seeking His place. Faith. Time in serving Him. Time! I hesitate to use and try not to myself as any kind of illustration because I'm a very weak example. But I often have folks tell me that have been in the mountains of North Carolina. How many have ever been in the mountains of North Carolina? And you will say with me, it is beautiful, is it not? How many has ever been to Alabama? And when I tell folks that I moved from the mountains of North Carolina to Alabama, they look at me, they always say, why? Wait, I've been asked 100 times. They'll get up and get real serious. They'd say, "Now, tell me, why did you do that?" And I have to look at them, and it is solely true. It's not the comparison to the beauty or anything like that. I just have to look at them, and they still look at me kind of wall-eyed. I say, "God placed me there," and He did. Every step of it, every bit of it was a placement of God. But I realized it was a part of His divine design for my life. And sometimes that means to depart. That means to go. That means to leave. And that means to die to some things that you might love. It may involve your family, that may involve your location, that may involve your job, it can involve a lot of things, but honey, God's got a bigger investment for you, something better, and by faith I trusted that if this was His will, then I'd be blessed if I'd just go ahead and do it, because there's no way I can hang around the house and use the gift and the investment that He's given me of preaching the gospel as an evangelist around the country. I have to die to that house thing. And believe me, it's hard. You're not going to understand this, but I love Alabama so much that I hate leaving. I really do. It's death to me to get in that car and pull out. I'm just thinking, boy, I just wish I could stay here one more night and sleep in my bed one more night. But there's an investment. And one of these days, I'm going to have to face the investor who made this investment and included me. And now He's left it to me to manage this investment. What will you do with what I have given you? And the one that had 5 and the one that had 2, they went. They left. They did what their Lord had to do. They sojourned. They had to go. Exactly as Christ did when He came here. They made the sacrifice. And it is a sacrifice. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. They went. They that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same. And made other 5. Likewise, he that had received 2 also gained. There was an addition. There was a gain that was gotten by diligent work. There was a profit made. I think Brother Lester mentioned it this week about this matter of being the same person today you were yesterday or last week. And if that be so in my life or your life, it's a bad investment. There needs to be a growth, a process, and adding to and enlarging to the glory of God, because that's what He expects. I don't know that anybody here deals with the Dow Jones. Somebody said they thought Dow Jones was a Baptist. Was he up one day and down that? Now, I don't know about that. But I walked in on a fellow one day. He had his computer out, and I said, "What you doing?" He said, "I'm checking the stock market, my investments." You could almost look at his face as to what he thought about it. When he grinned, then he'd look sad, and grin, look sad. Yeah, the news. The Dow Jones is up, man. It's went well. Boy, it's bottomed out. And when that rises and falls, the sadness and sorrow are the happiness of the investor, and rightfully so. You've taken your life savings and put it into something that you're hoping's going up. I was with one preacher, and the fellow talked him into investing in a certain thing in the stock market. And he said, "Man, I'm telling you, I lost." And he must have been rather well off, because he said, "I lost $100,000 just like that." I said, "I'd just go out and shoot myself if I'd done that." I said, "$100,000, you get any of it back?" He said, "No, it's gone. Won't ever get it back." Whew. I said, "Thank God I didn't invest something like that. Of course, $100 would have done me in. On $100,000. But there is this investment. The cost of the management of this investment means that we're going to have to involve ourselves in it. There is the consequence of the investment also. The scripture tells us that they earned the 2 talents and the other guy earned the 5 talents. And the scripture tells us that in verse number 19, after a long time, the Lord of the servant cometh, and he draws out the books and he reckoneth with them. So he that received the 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, "Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents, and behold, I've gained." Of course, you know the story in verse 21, how the one that gave the 2 did the same thing. And as a result of that, the master of this great investment rewards them accordingly. And he said, "You've been faithful." You see, again, it's not the matter of the portion, but it's the matter of the faithfulness with the portion that God has given you. Makes no difference. I have been with preachers that pastor. I have preached meetings when high attendance was 7. But the man of God was faithful back in the coal mines of West Virginia. And he said to me, "Preacher, I just want to tell you, on Monday night and Tuesday night, there was a pretty good crowd, because some churches far off really came in." But he said, "Now Wednesday night, there won't be many." And sure enough, when I went, there was 7. I got up that night, opened my Bible, announced my text, and the world blew up. I don't know if I'd ever preached like that before or since. I was all over the pews and around, jumping. I mean, God Almighty, just a burning in my soul. And when I got done, I said, "If anybody asked you how many was here tonight, tell me you got no idea." We know there's 7 we could see. Seemed like the witnesses of the host of heaven was on hand, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Who could tell? Well, it's about to me like we had a house full more. But it's just the matter of someone being faithful to the calling of which God... I can't determine who's going to receive, who's going to reject, who's going to be saved, who's not going to be saved. I can't determine all that, but I can remain faithful in doing what God has called me to do, and I will be rewarded accordingly. I'm glad for that, aren't you? I'm glad for that. But you know, somehow, as I was reading this text, I noticed how they left they went and they invested. Which lets me know that they basically died to their own to give to His investment, which brought an eternal reward. But as I was looking at that, I was reminded when Peter said, "Lord, we've left houses and lands and fathers and mothers." Said, what'd you give me? He said, "I want to tell you something, Peter. There ain't nobody going to leave father and mother and houses, land, so on. But what they won't receive, what was it, four, tenfold in the world to come and in this world?" He said, "You ain't going to invest on my account, but what I want to invest in on your account. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and what? All these things shall be what?" Hey! I spent my life for 30-some years in the investment of heaven. I don't look like I'm doing too bad. David began to cry out to God. He said, "Lord, I want to build you a house. I want to build you a house. I want to get involved in building you a house." And God came to him one day and said, "David, you're interested in building me a house, so I'm interested in building you a house. You making my business your business, and I'm going to make your business my business." And while you're out here investing in the kingdom of heaven with what God has given you the ability to do, God Almighty is working behind the scenes taking care of your needs. And boy, how miraculously He does that. Woo! I can testify as an evangelist that God takes care of His own. When I went into evangelism, left that little church there in the mountains, that it wasn't no big church, but they took care of my knees. But when I walked off to nothing. And I thought about getting me a sign and said, "We'll preach for food." That's been 8 years ago, and I've neither had to beg and bum and anything else. God Almighty has faithfully as we've traveled the roads. And I got down, sick. And the Lord said, and believe me, He did, or I wouldn't have done it. He said, "Take June off." I said, "You want me to take June off, Lord?" He said, "Take it off." I said, "What am I going to do for money?" He said, "Well, I've took care of you. Are you thinking that I can't take you?" I said, "Yeah." And Brother Les, I only told the preachers that I had to cancel. And I think I told you, called me and asked me. It was during June, and I told you I was off. I didn't starve in June either. Isn't it amazing how much He'll let you enjoy even while you're investing in His kingdom? Lord, I couldn't tell you how pleasurable and blessed life has been on the temporal side. Huh? Don't feel sorry for me. And I ain't feeling sorry for you. But honey, I want you to know, if you'll invest in His account, He'll invest in your account. Amen. He'll let you know you're doing the right thing. No sense in running around worrying what you're going to do when you get 65 or get 72 or if you lose your mind or all that other stuff. Concentrate on His investment in your life now. Seek the kingdom of God. He'll be there when you get 65. Amen. I can't promise you Washington will be there, but He'll be there. He'll be there if you're 116. But all you got to do is just invest in His kingdom. What a blessed investment it is. The management of it, the cost of this management, the consequences of it. I've done nothing but reap the benefits of the investment. For 30-some years. I'm pushing 40. Would you believe it? Almost 40 years. I know I don't look that old, but that's... But I want to close with this, and I'm trying not to make it on a negative note, but it's the truth of the matter. And the management of this investment, there's not only the cost and the consequence, but there's the collapse of it. Did you notice the Scripture says again in verse 18, but he that had received one went and digged in the earth. Now notice the same word is in verse number 18 there, went, as in verse 16. He that had received the five talents went. But if you go back to the Greek, it is a different word. It is not the same word. The word went there in verse 16 means to depart, and it means all a sacrifice of death. But the went that is in the following verse is not a went of sacrifice. It is not a went of surrendering to the kingdom. It's not a went of death. Look at the context of it. He went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now, he's going, but he's going in the wrong direction. There's absolutely no sacrifice to what he is doing. And when the master shows up, look at it. Verse 24, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, oh, listen, can you hear the whine in this? You'd almost have to be a Baptist preacher to appreciate this, the whine in it. Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed, and I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, here thou hast that is thine. You know there's going to be trouble when the investment has to be exhumed out of the earth, because this man has neglected this investment for his own interest. He has abandoned and deserted and disregarded it. Reminds me of Esau, who despised his birthright. What he did is he took the investment and he put it out of sight, out of mind. He put it in the earth, which is a type and a picture of you and I taking those things that God has given us and just basically taking the investment and investing it into this old world, worldly gains and worldly things. He's put it in the earth. He's invested heaven's investment in the earth. Well, I'm here to tell you, God ain't interested in putting none of his investment back into this old earth. Because one of these days, he's going to burn this old earth up and everything that's in it. Huh? He's got no desire to even change this old world. He ain't going to even change it. He's going to burn it up. His investment is in the souls of men. And that's what he's changing. And that's where he wants his investment to go. It needs to go into another heart, not into the ground. But it has to be exhumed out of the earth. Oh, he said, oh, I know where it's at. I tell you, I know where it's at. I'll run and grab that for you. And he goes, and it's got no doubt dirt and earth all over it. It has collapsed. We know that it has collapsed. I'm talking about this investment that's supposed to be managed because of the excuse concerning the investment. Now, I want to look at this a little bit here. If you ever went to the bookstore and they've got out all these books for dummies. Automobile mechanic for dummies or computers for dummies. Have you seen those? There's just whole shelves of them for dummies. Well, I'm going to write one, see if I can make some money. Excuses for dummies. And I'm going to tell you, I could write a book and every preacher could on the excuses that I have heard for why folks shouldn't do what they should do or do what they shouldn't do. And they're about as solid and valid as this man's excuse. I just think as pastors, we need to teach our people how to make up good excuses so they won't insult our integrity and make us mad. I mean, these stupid excuses make us mad. I mean, if you got a pretty good excuse, we can live with it. But when you tell us, you know, I would have been there, but my thumbnail, I mean, man, I had a hangnail right on that thumb, and that thing was killing me and throbbing. And you know, we're supposed to be saint and then look at you and say, oh, I know, did it hurt? And it's insulting our integrity. Used to have a lady at the church I pastored. She called on the Sunday morning. I could count on it when I first went there. I didn't let it last long. And she called with such things. Preacher, won't be able to make it this morning. Little Sammy's got a virus. Well, the problem was little Sammy was her grandson that lived with her daughter and her husband 5 miles away. What's that got to do with you coming to church this morning? I don't care if you don't want to come. Just don't call, make me mad with a stupid excuse. The whole 4 generations would lay out of church, live 20 miles apart because little Sammy had a virus. And I'm not making that up. That's not... That is just one of those excuses. And look at this man. Look at this man's excuse, what he begins to say. It just doesn't even add up. He said in verse number 24, I knew thee, thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. I was afraid and went and hid thine talent in the earth, and lo, here it, thou hast that is thine. Now, if all of that was true, it looks like to me that he would have been driven to do an investment somehow, because he would have known that his Lord was going to demand that there was an increase, there would be more, there would be a profit. This God of this business would demand that he would give himself to the investment. But yet he doesn't. He gives excuses and begins to explain away what ought to have been. But I notice in this matter of the management of this investment that there is the exchange of the investment. I'm talking about as it collapsed. He exhumed it from the earth. He made his excuses all about it. But I've noticed in the Lord's dealings that, you know, Jesus is not as pious as what religion wants to make him look like. But there were times when he could be tough. Matter of fact, he was frank most of the time. Now, truth of the matter is, most of us preachers, we can't afford to be real honest. If we was, we'd run everybody off. Are you understanding what I'm saying? I'm just being honest.
Be honest.
I mean, if I told everybody what I thought about what they said, I wouldn't have no members. That's stupid. Go back there and sit down. I don't want to hear that. What? You're not coming? Good. Call and tell me about it. Have you asked the Lord about it? Bye. That's what I felt like doing a lot. I must be honest. I just didn't want to hear it. But I had to use a little wisdom about it. I said, it's hurting. It's pretty bad, is it? You're going to be all right. Okay. When on the inside, I'm thinking, but if you'd lay that thumb out there and I'd get a hammer, I'd give you something to whine about. Especially when you look at the saints many times that are hurting and struggling and they'll come to the house of God. I mean, they're so hungering after the things of God. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't spend a whole lot of time barking at folks, or I didn't as pastor, and as to whether they ought to be there. If they didn't want to come, that's fine with me. But I didn't want to hear the excuses. And do you notice what Jesus said to him? He said, oh, Lord, in that whiny voice. I was sort of afraid. I just took it and put it in the earth, but I still got it. Jesus didn't say, well, bless your heart. You want to go see a psychologist or somebody to make you feel better? He stood by and he said, go get that off of him. Take that away from him. Take from him that hath the least and give to him that hath the most. You wouldn't have thought Jesus would have been that harsh, would you? I said, no, I'm not playing that game. I gave you one, and you took it lightly. You took it lightly, but it was a major investment. That's part of the major investment that I made in your life. I created everything to surround you. I came into this world and gave my life for you. I gave everything into this investment, and you've taken this investment, and you've hid it. And all you'd have had to done was invested it into the kingdom. He said, take it from him now and give it to him. Now, listen, children. Now, I know I'm preaching to the wrong crowd about this. I mean, you're here. But at least you can tell them when you see them what I said. I figured out how this thing works. If they don't want it, he's going to give it to somebody that does want it. So I just said, you know, if y'all don't want it, fine with me. He's just going to give me what he was going to give you. Have you noticed the increase in the lives of people who have invested themselves in the kingdom of God, how God continually adds to their lives in spiritual measures and in every other way, but yet those who refuse to do so are constantly struggling in one way or another. Because God is constantly taking from them and he's investing in the lives of others. I noticed that in 22 years of pastoring. Folks who would not invest. Folks who sort of trampled over with their feet the great investment of God in their lives and felt as though that they had the right to live the way they wanted to live. But I'm here to tell you, you're bought with a price. You're not your own. You belong to him. These servants are him. The investment is his. It's all his. Amen. And if you don't want to lose that, you better put it to use. If he's given you the ability to sing to his glory, you better use that. Whatever that ability is, you better use that. Because he said, I'm coming, and when I get here, I'll have the face of an investor. And I'm going to check everybody's account. You know, the first investment, that's probably a bad thing to close with, but the first thing that I ever remember as a child is an investment. Now, you've got to understand that I was raised in a rough situation. No mama and all that other stuff. And so a lot of things went on. But there's an old drunk come by the house. And I say drunk. He was that day. And we had a little old Chihuahua dog that we just got, and I don't even know where that got come from. But I remember this. And the old drunk fell in love with that dog while he was at the house, so he wanted to buy it. So we sold it to him. Only problem is when he sobered up, he forgot he bought it. So he left without the dog. We had the money, but we felt so bad about it. We felt he earned the right to the name of that dog, so we named him after the drunk. His name was Bun. So till the dog died, his name was Bun. That's my earliest remembering of any kind of investment. The poor guy. But you know, this matter of heaven's investment is so serious and it is so real. When you think of the blood of Christ, when you think of the cross of Calvary, when you think of the extent that He came, when you think of the life that He lived and the death that He died, when you think of the purchase at Calvary of the souls of men, and when you think of the gifts and the abilities that do you think of the calling when he called you, when He called me, I can go back to the day when He called me, what a blessed thing that was. He said, "Here, I got a gift for you. I'm going to be gone, but I'm coming back. I want you to invest for my sake." And I don't know about you, but I want to be able to look in His face and Him say, "Well done.